Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor and to give us power to build his kingdom. When you walk in the Spirit, you access the intelligence, the heart, and the will of God. Whatever your calling is, whatever God has called you to do, there are many people that are waiting for you to be doing what God called you to do. We determined that everyone is important. There are no big I's and no little U's. So many times we look for the pastors and we look for those that hold positions in the church. And we expect those people to be doing the work of God. And we're just kind of tagging along. Well, that's not God. If you are a child of God, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and God has given you a gift, and God is expecting you to use your gift. You don't need a title to use your gift. Amen. You don't need man to give you any recognition. You don't need people to put their stamp of approval on you. If God has put his stamp on you, that's all the stamp you need. Isn't that good? And so tonight we're just going to kind of do a review of what we have talked about thus far. And the session one, we talked about the topic, what is a calling? What is a calling? Because people say, well, I've been called by God. But what does that mean? So we talked about what is a calling. And then in session two, we talked about the topic, are you prepared for your calling? Because you can have a call from God and not be prepared to carry out the call. Is that right? And so we talked about that. And so we talked about three different things that needs to happen for you to be effective in your call. The first one says what it means to be tried in the fire. What does that mean? Because he said in the Bible, after that you have been tried in the fire, you shall come forth as pure gold. Amen. How many have read that? So he said after. So that means that there must be a need for you to be tried in the fire. Because the word says so. He said, but because that's how you become pure gold. And then week three, we talked about the topic, what it means to go through a wilderness experience. What does it mean to go through a wilderness experience? If you're going to be effective for God, you must go through a wilderness experience. And what we determined in the wilderness is a place where you go through that nobody can get you through but God. If God doesn't bring you out, if God doesn't get you through that wilderness, no family member can help you. No friends can help you. You will not be able to come out in the wilderness. And then session four, we said another thing that needs to happen for you to be effective in your call is what does it mean to die to your flesh? And I could just tell all of you all what excited about death. Amen. Dying to the flesh. What does it mean to die to your flesh? We talked about what does it mean that you have to die to you, to what you want to do and want to do only what the Lord wants you to do. And then in session five, we talked about Satan uses your kryptonite to hinder your call. Amen. I love this one right here. And we determined that everybody has kryptonite. And you need to determine what your kryptonite. Your kryptonite is that weakness, that thing that keeps coming back and causing you to deviate from what God has called you to do. That one thing, it could be a thing, it could be a person, it could be a habit, but something that keeps you from doing what God has called you to do. The devil will always use your kryptonite. And everybody has at least one thing that is kryptonite. And so we determined we had to find out what it is, because if you don't know or you're not aware, the enemy will keep using against you and you'll keep doing the same thing over and over again. And he keeps using your kryptonite to distract you. Amen. Amen. And then in session six, it says your calling is never based on your ability. Aren't you glad about that? God said, you know, what do? Even Moses, when God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel, what did he say? I don't talk well. I stammer when I talk. I stutter when I talk. And God said, that's okay, Moses. I got Aaron. Amen. So your excuse is not going to work. So when we give God excuses, God said, I don't care what excuse you give me. When I call you, I am not going to take it, because if I called you, I prepared you, I made provisions for you, and anything you need in the call, I've done it. I've taken care of it. And you know, sometimes I think God probably looks at us and I don't know what he thinks, but why would God call you to do something and not equip you with what you need to get it done? And I've seen this. How many ever prayed pleading to God? God, oh God, I need your help. How many ever prayed that prayer? Come on, be honest with me. I'm not the only one. Lord, help me, Lord. Oh God, please help me. He said, I want to help you. You don't have to beg. Isn't that good? I thank God. One time the Spirit told me that. God said, Joyce, you don't have to ever beg me for anything. He said, just ask. So anybody that's been begging, cut it out. He said, begging is not necessary. We're pleading with God as if we got to convince him to do what he already wanted to do because he told you to do it. And you're not trying to convince him to help you. He said, why wouldn't I help you? Because I called you to do it. So God said to me, he said, Joyce, just ask. Stop pleading with me. You know, stop begging me. What if somebody came to you, your children, let's use this for example. And every time they wanted something to eat, they just start pleading. Please, mama, please feed me. Please feed me, daddy. Please feed me, daddy. Daddy, please, can I please have a piece of cookie? Can I please? Would that get on your nerve? You would say, look, baby, you don't have to keep begging, mama, you know, daddy. I want to do it. But God said, I love you. I have my love is much greater than your love. So I'm not going to ask you to do something and not give you the wherewithal to get the job done. Isn't that wonderful? And then in session 7, we talked about the purpose and source of spiritual gifts. In order for you to fulfill your call, God has given you a gift, and sometimes more than one gift. But God gives us gifts, and we have to understand the purpose of our call is never about you so people can applaud you. Is that right? So people can applaud you and give you accolades, but the purpose of the call is about serving God and serving his people. And the source of the spiritual gift we found out is who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. He is the giver of the gift. I remember I used to pray and I used to tell the Holy Spirit what gift I wanted. Am I the only one? Has anybody told the Holy Spirit what gift you wanted? You saw somebody operating in the gift and you decided I want that gift. Did you try to get that gift? And he said, he said, no, that's not the gift. I give out the gifts. You don't ask me for what gift. And I remember I did that for years and I thought I was, you know, that was very spiritual for me to ask God for certain gifts. He said, no, we saw in the word. He said that the Holy Spirit gives the gift. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit, what is my gift? And once you determine what it is, then you begin to ask the Holy Spirit to operate in and through you. Is that good? And then in section 8, we talked about what is the sin nature. I think out of all of them, that one right there, that was a good one. Amen. Because we found out that the sin nature will be with us until we die. That means there is going to be a spiritual battle. There will be a spiritual war going on. The sin nature came from Adam. Is that right? The sin nature is when Adam sinned and Eve sinned against God. It went down through the generations. And it's just like when we sin and our sin, we pass it down to our children. Is that right? Well, that's what Adam and Eve did. And so the sin nature is what they passed down to us because they disobeyed God. And the sin nature will get in your way if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to keep it in check. And I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, you know, he's my favorite topic. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He's one of my favorite. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are my favorite topics. I need to say that. But tonight we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And so tonight our lesson is the Holy Spirit's role in your calling. Because throughout every lesson that we learned, that we talked about, and that we looked at the scripture, it says the Holy Spirit is the one we need in order for us to be able to become all that God created us to be. So what is his role in your calling? When you determine his role, let me tell you, and you let him operate in his role, your calling will not be difficult. You will be able to do what God called you to do. It will be so effortless. Have you ever seen people trying to do a work for God and they're struggling? Have you ever tried to do what you felt God was called you to do and you're struggling to make it happen? You know, it's so interesting. I go to different churches because I speak in different places, and some churches I go into because more of them are charismatic churches, and you know, and everything, and you know, and I'm not knocking. If this is your church, I'm not knocking your church. I'm just making a point. Amen. They are struggling. You know, and so I came up in the charismatic church. So let me tell you what happened to me, and so I watched what they did. And I watched all of the theatrics and all the stuff they did to try to make the spirit come in. Am I the only one? Amen. So because I didn't grow up in the church and all I knew is what I saw, I just did what they did. So I acted like they acted. How many of you ever acted like the other folks in church? So you could fit in. Come on, be honest. Amen. Okay, you're acting like they're acting because now I want to be accepted in this group because this is how the group acts. And you notice you go into church, everybody kind of acts the same way. Okay, if they say hallelujah, they say hallelujah the same way. If they say it low, everybody says it low. If they say it high, everybody says it high. If they say it in the middle. So people have a tendency, they gravitate to what they see everyone else is doing. Is that right? And so that's what I did. I was a teenager. I wasn't raised in the church. And so I watched what they did because I was going to be, because one thing about me, I'm competitive. Now, for you that may not know that. And I believe in being the best in everything I do. So I said, I'm going to watch you church folk. But I'm going to be better. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to be the best at it. I'm going to be up there with the top people. Amen. Amen. And I want to be at the top. Amen. You know, the people in the back there, I thought they were mediocre. And, you know, look, I'm going to be right up front. Now, let me see what you're doing. And that's what I did. When I look back over my life at some of the things that I did, I know God was chuckling at me. I know he was like, what is my daughter doing? I'm telling you, I remember. Can I tell y'all some of the things I did? You won't laugh at me, will you? Okay, I see you laughing already. Okay, I see you laughing. I haven't even told you what I did, and you're laughing. Amen. I mean, I used to do some things. I remember one time, I thought to be spiritual, I would just scream. Amen. I would just scream. And, I'm not even going to demonstrate because you are laughing already. I mean, I did some strange stuff. I did everything but go do cartwheels. And I thought about doing that one time. I said, what if I did cartwheels through this church? You know, I mean, I did some strange stuff. And do you know, I don't even know why I just told you that. Okay, but anyway, see, you're laughing because some of you have done some strange stuff too. Okay, so that's why you're laughing at me. Okay, because you're relating. You're relating. Uh-huh. And it was all about being accepted by the crowd because I wanted to be perceived as spiritual too. Amen. And I thank God that he is merciful. You know, I don't want to tell this story, but sometimes the Holy Spirit makes me tell a story. So I'm going to tell it anyway. I remember I was at this church one time. I was real young in the Lord. You all, I've been saved 44 years. So know that I was real young in the Lord and I was so full of the Spirit. I think I was banging my head on the wall or something. And I remember my mother was living and she came up and she was so sweet. I just thank God for my mother. She said, it's all right, baby. It's all right. I thought I was looking real spiritual. I'm banging my head on the wall. And I thought the people around me thought I was spiritual. Now, I have never told that story. How did you all draw that out of me? The Holy Spirit just would make me tell that story. Because so much of what we do has nothing to do with the Lord. And the reason why I did it, and he's telling me to tell this story. The reason why I did it, because I had a problem with being accepted by people. And I was willing to bang my head against a wall if it meant you would accept me. I want to be a part of these church folk. Amen. I did something, but I thank him. Amen. I didn't do it too long. Thank God I would have been crazy. You know, I did. You know, I had enough sense. Don't hit head on that wall too many times. You ain't that spiritual. So I kind of, you know, but I thank God. And yet he still used me. Yet he's still using me. He said, one day, Joyce, you're going to get this right. I remember the Lord told me this was many years ago, probably about 18, 19 years ago. I was sitting in my office at work. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Lord said this to me. He said, Joyce, 80% of what you learned in church has nothing to do with me. He said, I've got to deprogram you. And now and reprogram you. He said, because you learned a lot of religious things in the church that has nothing to do with me. You watch what other people were doing, but those people were not hearing from me either. They were in their flesh. So God is merciful, though. And he said, that's why he looks beyond our faults and see our needs. Aren't you glad he does? Yes. And so the Holy Spirit's role in your calling, it says the Holy Spirit is our helper. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit was sent to help you. That's it. He was sent to help you. Now we need to talk about what was he sent to help you do? Not what you want to do, but what the Lord has planned for you. That's the Holy Spirit is never going to help your flesh. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit is never going to help you get in your flesh. The Holy Spirit will only help you do what is pleasing to God. And I thank him for that, because the Holy Spirit, he's part of the Trinity. Remember, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he is not going to do anything but what pleases the Father and the Son. He doesn't care about what you want to do. He doesn't care about what you think you want to do. He doesn't care about what others are doing. The Holy Spirit is only concerned about the Father and the Son and doing what the Father and the Son wants done, because they operate in oneness and unity. Isn't that good? And so if he is your helper, listen to this. If he's your helper, then that means that whatever, when you allow him to be your helper, that means you pleasing God. How many ever thought, Lord, I just want to please you? How many ever thought that? Lord, I just want to please you. Yeah. Well, if you want to please God, let the Holy Spirit help you. Because yeah. You can't please him in your flesh. It'll never happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Look at this. A calling. Let's talk about this calling a little bit. A calling is God's personal, individual invitation to carry out the unique task he has for you. Isn't that great? He said your calling is a personal. It's about you personally, your individual, and an invitation to carry out the unique task that he has for you. He said, that's what a calling is. He said, I have a calling for you. And he said, this is me calling you to do. It's an invitation. You know what it's an invitation to do? It's an invitation to be in partnership with God. Mm-hmm. Is that good? Yes. It's an invitation for you to partner up with the creator of the universe. That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Now, you all seem real excited about that. Okay, let me say that again, because some of y'all still are trying to grasp that thought, because some of you have never thought about that. You are a partner with God when you are in your calling. Okay, I'm going to say it again, because maybe by the third time, you all get real excited about it. You are a partner with the creator of the universe. Okay, that was a little bad. Well, glory be to God. You know, I'm amazed when people get excited. See, that kind of stuff excites me. You mean the creator of the universe wants me to be in partnership with him, doing work for him, working for him, the creator? Yes, he does. Wow. See, you got to come out of your flesh mind to get to grasp the magnitude of that. Lord Jesus. Before you can discover God's calling for you specifically, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must. God reveals a calling only to those who accept him as their savior. If you really want to understand your call, truly what your call is, he said, you have to have a personal relationship with God. Because you can understand your gift and not understand your call. Did you catch that? See, I know what my gift is. I'm gifted to do this, and I'm gifted to do that. But what I found out is the calling is deeper than the gift. The gift gives you the ability to carry out the call. Is that good? Okay. So you can know what your gift is and not even understand the call. So if you don't understand and you don't have this personal, intimate relationship with God, you'll start doing it the way everybody else does it that has a similar gift. And God said, no, the call that I have for you is very specific. Is that good? It's very specific to what I want you to do. Not only what to do, when to do, how to do it, where to do it, and how long. All of those are very specific things when it comes to your calling. I found out that I cannot figure God out. I finally figured it out. Every time I think I got him figured out, guess what? If I think he's going to go to the right, then he goes to the left. Am I the only one? Amen. And every time I think, Lord, okay, I got this. He said, nope, I'm not going that way, Joyce. I'm not going to do it that way. I did it that way last week. But this week, I want to do it differently. Do you know when you're operating in your calling, sometimes you'll have the same situation and God will say, I want you to do so and so this way, this week. The Holy Spirit said, now handle this situation this way. Mm-hmm. The same situation will come up next week and the Holy Spirit will tell you a totally different route. But if you're operating in your flesh, you'll do it like you did last week. Because last week worked, didn't it? Yeah. Last week, it worked. And you'll think, well, he must want me to do that way again. But you know the beauty of operating in the Spirit. I get excited. I said, Lord, I don't ever know where you're going to go. I never know what you're going to do. But I know if whatever you're doing, it's going to be good. Isn't that something? Do you know that makes the Christian life really exciting? Wouldn't it be boring if we had to do the same thing every day, if we did it the same way? And the other thing is God said it's different because it's different people and different situations and everybody needs something different. God will tell you differently how to handle your children. Now, some of us already know that if you got more than one child, you can have two children that came from the same mother and father and they act totally different. And you know what? If you're a wise parent, you will not treat your children the same. Yeah. I had two daughters. Thank God. Two daughters. I have two daughters. One of my daughters, all I had to do was talk to her. And she would follow what I said. The other one, that was a whole nother story. One of my daughters, she had a key. She was a latchkey kid because she had to have a key to come into the house. When I was for a couple of hours or so before I got home from work, that oldest one would have never gotten a key. She was grown and gone. And she asked my daughter, at one time she found out my youngest daughter had a key because she had moved out of the house. She said, well, Mama, you never gave me a key. And I said, I never would. Because when I got home, I don't know what would have been happening in that house. Now, I didn't love your sister more than I loved you, but I know you. Matter of fact, the reason I know you, because you're just like me. And I knew if I had a key before I got saved and Mama wasn't home, I know what I would be doing. Come on now. And since you are just like me, and I'm not into signs, she's born 3 days apart from me. I'm not into zodiac or anything. But I'm like, and it wasn't because we both August and I'm August 24th and she's August 27th. I just know she had a personality just like mine. And you wouldn't want to give us a key. So I told her, but see, God said, now I had enough sense not to know which daughter to give a key. He said, you think I don't have enough sense to know which child of mine to give what and when and how? Is that good? Okay, you caught that. Okay, so I had to tell that story for you to get that story. He said, some of you all are asking me to trust you with some things. Some of you are asking me to do some things in you and with you. He said, but I can't trust you yet. And I know some of you, some kids are stubborn. Then you have some children you can just simply speak to what you want to do and they do it. And some kids, you threaten them and whatever. God said, I've got stiff-necked children. I've got children that will do what I tell them to do. God said, I already know. He said, I can use the stiff-necked ones. He said, but they're going to have to burn in the fire a little longer. Yeah. That's why I had to be in the fire so long. Yeah. That's why I was in the fire for years. And I thought I was ready. I'm like, Lord, you can take me out the fire now. He said, oh, no. Mm-mm. The fact that you said that means you're not ready. You ain't ready to come out the fire. See, but when I stopped asking him to take me out, one day I looked up and I was out the fire. He said, because, see, you understand you don't determine anything. I determine what, when, and how. And I was one of those know-it-alls. How many know some people like that? If they sit next to you, don't look at them. But some people that know everything about everything. Any subject you bring up, they know everything. Now, know-it-alls, God says, see, I have to keep you in the wilderness a little longer because you will try to do it without me. God had to get me to a place that I would, because I was a person that I had to understand everything. And I came to a place where God said, you got to just do what I tell you to do and stop questioning me. If you're going to operate in any calling for the Lord, you cannot keep questioning God. Do I have any questioners in the house? Okay, all right. So I'm getting ready to help you. He said, you cannot operate and fully operate in your calling if every time I say something to you and ask you to do something, you've got to give me a list of things that maybe I forgot. How many ever done that one? You know, now, Lord, I know you know everything, but did you remember that thus and so happened? He said, so now you got to think, you got to remind me, you got to take me down memory lane and it remind me of things. I know everything. I trust God so much, and I never thought I would get here. I trust God so much tonight, words cannot describe, but I didn't get there overnight. I used to question things. But you know what? I trust him so much now. Whatever he says, I'm moving. He said, except you come as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. That means that you're just doing what your daddy says do because you trust him. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for watching Walking in the Spirit. We are here every week studying the Word of God. We know that when we walk in the Spirit, we will mistake-proof our lives. I invite you to join us here at 245 North Root Street in St. Paul, Minnesota at 7 p.m. at Joyce Lester Ministries every Tuesday night. Why don't you join us and bring a friend? God bless.